I want you to look with me in the Gospel according to John. We're going to go back and read in chapter 3. We're going to start reading in verse 14. We're going to read through verse 21. John's Gospel, chapter 3, we'll read verse 14 through 21. Our text is really going to be 19, 20, and 21. But starting in verse 14, we'll make some comments. Tonight, I'm going to share whose fault it is if I go to hell. Whose fault is it? Is it God's fault if we don't go into the kingdom of heaven? Is it God's fault that someone was not elected and therefore didn't receive Christ and therefore didn't get saved? Or is it our fault? Instead, these allergies are killing me tonight. Instead of asking men, why don't we just ask God and see what the Word of God says about people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus? The Bible says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we know from the text and we know from the example, Jesus is saying that he came to die. Our Lord Jesus came to die. The Bible says that God the Father sent God the Son to die. And so we'll look at that in a moment. But wow, to think that God loved us so much. Verse 15 says that the Son of God came to die on the cross so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Last week I preached primarily from that verse. God so loved the world. God did not give a bull or a goat, not even a beautiful little lamb. God gave his Son. Oh, how much it cost God to give his Son. How difficult and painful it was for God to give his Son. So you see the love that God had for the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his Son so that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. How does anybody blame God for their lostness? How does anybody blame God for someone not going to heaven and for someone going to hell? Because of the doctrine of election, without understanding what it really means or what it says, there are people who find fault with God. But if you don't believe in the doctrine of election, then that's fine. And if you do, that's fine as well. That doesn't mean they're both right. That's not my business. My business is teach the Word of God and let God show you. Amen. But regardless of what you believe about election or don't believe about election, I want you to understand what the Word of God says. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting. And that's exactly what the Word of God means. Amen? It means what it says. And it says what it means. God, he loved the world so much that he gave his Son that anybody in the world, whoever in the world, whatever they're like in the world, however bad they are in the world, if they will believe, like I preached this morning, in Jesus, they'll be saved. Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. Do you know, God didn't send Jesus to judge the world, to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. Before Jesus ever died, the world was already condemned. They were already sinners. They were already guilty. They were already under condemnation. And everybody that's ever lived since then has been born and lived and died under condemnation. So God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, but he sent him so that the world could be saved. Amen? He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, those who believe, those who don't believe. Do you see a division of the two kinds of people there are? Those who believe, those who don't believe. There's no division in the mind of God between the good and the bad, really. Not in the rich or the poor. The division that God notices, those who believe and those who don't believe. Those who put their faith in Christ, those who don't put their faith in Christ. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. The guilt of not coming to Jesus lies in the heart of men. The reason men don't come to Jesus is because they don't want to. Not because they can't, but because they don't want to. Unbelief is our fault. Those who believe in God is God's fault. I like that. Do you know, if you're saved today, that's God's fault. God's gift to you, and the Holy Spirit drawing you, and the Holy Spirit giving life to you. Oh, my friend, if you're lost and you don't believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, you're going to magnify the judgment or justice of God. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to magnify the grace of God. In verse 19 and 21, there is another division. Help me again by making sure you know the first division that we've talked about in these scriptures. John 3:16, for whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What's the division? Those who believed and those who haven't, right? Verse 18, he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What's the division? Nope. The same one we just mentioned. Those who believed and those who have not believed. But in verse 19, there's a change. It's talking about the same two groups of people, but it talks about them from a different perspective. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Now we're referring to the judgment. We've entered into the courtroom of God. We've entered into the division of people that God holds them accountable for in the judgment of God. This is the judgment. So now the division is what? Those who love darkness and hate the light. And those who love the light and come to the light. It's the same ones, but it's from a different perspective. Now, the ultimate contrast in these is not those who believed and those who don't believe. It's not those who love the light and those who don't love the light. The ultimate contrast is those is that the ones who come to Jesus come by the grace of God. Now, I want us to go back and look at the guilt of not coming to Jesus. Whose fault is it? This is the judgment, verse 19, that light has come into the world. And men love the darkness rather than the light. What is the light that he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus. This is the judgment that Jesus, the embodiment of all truth, the embodiment of all there is to know about God, the embodiment of all there is to know about man, everything in the world, my friend, all of the knowledge in the world is miscued knowledge if you don't consider it in light of Jesus. All things were made by him and all things were made for him. Everything, my friend, is only understood as it's understood in relationship to the Lord Jesus. But let's just look at the simple things. Jesus has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. When the Bible says that men love the darkness rather than the light, who is he talking about in those verses? Unsaved people. Is there any other one? Anybody else got an answer? Huh? Well, don't just limit it to the flesh. Who's he talking about? Is he talking about unbelievers or is he talking about believers and unbelievers? Someone want to give me the right answer? Both. We have to have an opinion of ourselves. My friend, apart from the grace of God, every man is sinful. Apart from the grace and the mercy of God, all of us are sinful, all of us are depraved, all of us are condemned. None of us will come to God. The Bible says, "For we've all gone astray." And there's none that doeth good, no, not one. My friend, we're all totally depraved apart from the grace and the mercy of God. None of us are good apart from the grace of God. This is the judgment that light came into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light. That includes you. The truth is, before you got saved, you didn't want Jesus. You may have started wanting him sometime before you came to Jesus. My friend, that was the work of the Spirit of God. You had no interest in God. You had an interest in self. That is the condition of every one of us. I remember before the Spirit of God started working on me, I didn't want to go to church, wasn't against church, didn't hate church, didn't hate the preacher, didn't really know him very well. But I just loved me. I was about me. And that's the way you were. We loved our sin. You said, well, I didn't love to drink. I didn't love to smoke. I didn't love to run around with wild women. I would never like that. I'm telling you, my friend, light came in the world and you loved darkness rather than the light. And you didn't even want to come to the light because you didn't want your deeds to be exposed. Not that you wanted to hide your worst sin. My friend, you can't hide any sin from God. And you can't hide some of our sins from the public. And some people sin very publicly. But even when they sin very publicly, they're sinning in such a dark world that people no longer and really have never been held guilty for all of their guilt and their sin and their shame. And the more public someone goes with their sin, the less danger they see in their sin going public. So what is that about? Well, I'm just telling you, folks, people love darkness. They love to do their sin where they don't feel bad about it. They love to live their sin in a world that accepts their sin. And they don't want a child of God coming and pointing out their sin. They don't want someone saying to them, you have to be saved. You have to be born again. A Methodist doesn't want you to tell them that you're not saved by works. You're saved by grace. They don't want to hear that. Catholics don't want to hear that dripping some water on you don't keep you safe. Hindus don't want to hear that their gods are not a way to lead them. They don't want to hear the truth. They love their life that they've chosen, and they don't want to change their life. My friend, we don't come to Jesus because we don't want to. I knew you were supposed to be saved a long time before I was ever saved. I knew that I'd die and go to hell if I didn't get saved long before I got saved. But I tell you, I just didn't want to get saved because I didn't want to start living like I knew I was supposed to start living. And I want to tell you, I didn't live that bad of a life. I'd tell you how bad I lived, but my mom's here. About the worst thing I ever did before I got saved was snuck in a drive-in movie theater. Get in the trunk of a car. One man drive, four of us be in the trunk, and we'd sneak in. Mama give you $2 to go to the movie and the show, and you sneak in, you could buy a lot more popcorn and Coke if you didn't pay to get in. That worked pretty good till one night we pulled out of the cemetery and someone rear-ended the car. And that's strange, we went into a cemetery to get in the trunk of the car. That was the most convenient place because it was just right across the river from the theater, the drive-in theater. I didn't live that wicked of a life compared to some. Never smoked and never drank. But I'm going to tell you, I still didn't bring glory to God with my life like I should, and I didn't want to. I lived like I wanted to live. I lived a clean life because I wanted to live a clean life. I didn't do the things that some people did because I didn't want to, but I did what I wanted to. And I wanted to sneak into a drive-in theater so I'd have more money for Coke, so I did. I didn't want anyone coming up to me and say, that's a sin against God. You know, you were not that much more different than the homosexuals are today. They don't want someone telling them that's a sin against God. Your sins were your sins, and you didn't want anybody pointing them out. You were satisfied like you were. The judgment is this, that light came into the world, and men love their darkness rather than the light. Jesus came. But I liked it like it was. Everyone who does evil hates the light does not come to the light. Fear that his deeds will be exposed. My friend, if your husband is not saved, he's not saved because he doesn't want to be. If your children are not saved, they're not saved because they don't want to be. They're saved because they like it is. They won't come to the light because they don't want God showing them how to live. But there's something different in this between those who don't come to the light and those who do. Look at verse 21. Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life, doesn't he? I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. Verse 21 says, he who practices the truth comes to the light. You can't really separate the truth from the light. If you keep on practicing what God wants you to practice, you'll come to the light so you'll know more of what God wants you to practice. He who keeps on practicing the truth comes to Jesus. Why does he come to Jesus? So that his deeds may be made visible as having been wrought in God. Anybody know what that last sentence means? Why do they come to the light? He who practices the truth comes to the light, right? You got that. If you are keeping on practicing the truth, you come to Jesus. And if you come to Jesus, why do you come? Let's just read the text. Why do you come to Jesus? So your deeds will be made visible. He'll receive the glory, that's true. But that's not what the text is teaching. So that his deeds may be made visible. What does a child of God want to be made visible? No, just read the... That what good we've done it because God has done it. That's right. My friend, if you have come to God by faith in Jesus, God has done that in you so that your deeds will make visible that your coming to God is a work of God. It's the grace of God. That's why I said earlier, if you die and go to hell, if you never believe in the Lord Jesus and you die and you go to hell, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell because you didn't want Jesus as much as you wanted your own sin, your own life. If you go to hell, it's your fault. If you go to heaven, it's God's fault. Isn't that wonderfully marvelous? Who do you want to get the glory for your salvation? You? Or do you want God to get it? My friend, we ought to want God to get all the glory. And so you come to the truth. You come to the light. You come to Jesus. And God's purpose in your coming to Jesus is that it will be clearly visible that God has done it in you. All things are created by Him and for Him. All things are for God's glory. And the fact that we come to Jesus and say yes to Jesus, the fact that we believe on the Lord Jesus, my friend, is not our work, but it's God's work. Do you have to believe in order to be saved? Yes. Amen. Can you go to heaven without putting your faith in Jesus? No. If you put your faith in Jesus, if you look to Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, if you receive Jesus, are you going to go to heaven according to the Word of God? Yes. Whose fault is it if you don't? It's our fault. My friend, people don't come to Jesus not because they weren't chosen. That's not the reason they don't come. Not because they weren't elected. That's not the reason they don't come. My friend, people don't come to Jesus because they don't want to. It's their fault. They're guilty. They love the way things are more than they love the Son of God. You can't blame God for anybody going to hell. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believed. Folks, that is an open invitation to the whole world, to everyone in the world, and anybody in the whole world who will put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And it's not God's fault if one person or any person or if no one ever comes. It's their fault. Guilty of not wanting to come to Jesus. Guilty. Isn't God wonderful to make a way, to make a way for anybody to come? Such a simple way. My friend, it costs God everything. It doesn't cost us anything. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. What do I have to do to be saved? Look to Jesus. Believe on Jesus. And he loved the whole world enough that he gave his Son to die so that could take place. Would you come to Jesus? And if you have come to Jesus, will you say to Jesus, I was as guilty as anybody's ever been guilty. I was as sinful as anybody's ever been sinful. I had gone my own way just like everybody else had gone their own way. That's what it means. We've all turned our backs. We've all turned our own way. And even though we've all turned to our own way, God laid on him the iniquity of our sins. In spite of the fact that we turned our own way, turned our own backs, God still sent his Son to die on the cross so that if we would believe. But my friend, when you believe, don't say, I'm smarter than you. Don't say, I'm better than you. Don't say, I had something in me, in my inner self, that was better than you. Because we were all gone astray. All of us gone astray. It's not some of us. It's all of us. But when we come to the truth and when we come to the light, we do that it may be made clearly visible as having been a work of God. You ought to say to God, God, I'm so thankful you saved me. I'm so thankful your Spirit wooed me. I'm so thankful, God, I was dead in my sins and you made me alive. I'm so thankful, God, when I turned my own way, you loved me and drew me. And God, it was your work. It was your grace that gave me faith and caused me to believe in you. Hallelujah. Give God the glory. Give God the thanks. We're way too unthankful when we give ourselves any credit. Give all the glory to God. Father, thank you for loving us. In the midst of all of our guilt and sinfulness and shame, in the midst of our deadness and our darkness, in the midst of our desiring our own way above yours, in the midst of our loving darkness more than light, thank you, God, for grace. Overpowering grace, life-changing grace, life-raising grace, Thank you, God, that you wooed me. And thank you, God, that I came. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.